with utilities. And thanks to the energy inflation, these are set to be much higher than the contracts for the current year. Meanwhile, the European Commission has promised to help by capping the revenues of oil, gas, and coal companies. As for Russia, it would lose income, so that would also be ruled out. Russia has said that Europe is now indefinitely deprived of key gas supply routes. It said that it is searching for ways to get the pipelines up and running, but the timeline cannot yet be estimated. So the big winner from the energy crisis in Europe would be the US. Europe's descent into deindustrialization is happening at warp speed. With the sabotage of the Nord Stream pipeline, there is no way back. Europe can no longer import Russian gas, and this means that prices will remain high until Europe builds more energy capacity, and this could take years. High energy prices will, in essence, make European manufacturing uncompetitive. After all, European manufacturers will be forced to pass the higher energy cost to the end user or the consumers, and that is how many European businesses will begin to unravel. According to one analyst, the only logical European response to the threat of widespread deindustrialization is to raise tariffs. This is the only way to balance out prices between more expensive European goods and cheaper foreign goods. One of the consequences, however, is that it will lower living standards, depriving Europeans of cheaper priced goods. In short, this no longer looks like a short-term crisis for Europe. Stories from Europe are like stories once heard in countries that are suffering from high inflation. High inflation and resource rations imposed by the state. European companies or factories moving to the US would help the US economic situation. The US is already suffering from high inflation and an energy crunch. The relocation of European manufacturers to the United States will give the US a big advantage by boosting investment and creating jobs. It will also strengthen the country's industrial economy. This will also give the United States a bigger advantage in the face of its increasing military and economic confrontation with China. And in the face of rising competition with Russia and China, having Europe on its side will prove to be a big advantage for the United States. The question is whether the Biden administration knowingly nudged Europe to decouple from Russian energy sources in order to lure European companies toward the influence sphere of Washington.
The wait was finally over. The four regions of Ukraine are not Ukrainian territory any longer, but Russian territory, after referendums were held.
Of course, there were soldiers, but it was not because of forcing the people, but it was to protect us, and not for the people to force them to vote.
It's perfectly understandable, and on the democratic point of view, I don't see anything to say against this referendum.
The residents overwhelmingly voted to join Russia. This was the fight of their lives, said the leader of Donetsk. 3,000 days of fighting, thousands killed due to Ukraine's shelling. Now, lives will be saved. The US, the UK, and the West in general already spoke out against these referendums, which they called a sham.
Russia and sham referenda and annexations that seem to be proceeding in Ukraine. One, we've been very clear that we are prepared and we will impose additional severe and swift costs on Russia for proceeding with the annexations.
The UK Prime Minister Liz Truss was visibly angry at Russia's formalization. Putin cannot be allowed to alter international borders using brute force. We will ensure that he loses this illegal war. For Russia, this was a big moment. First, it was successful in building a wall that almost entirely blocked NATO's eastward expansion. This would almost make Ukraine a landlocked country, posing another major challenge for Ukraine and the US. The Russian President Vladimir Putin's formalization of the referendums, however, more than just that. you took the opportunity to slam the West, the U.S. in particular, from different angles, including cultural values. At the same time, Putin called on Kiev to return to negotiations, emphasizing, however, that Moscow will not discuss the choice made by the Donbass republics, Kherson, and Zaporizhzhia. This poses the question, is Putin open for peace talks in order to end the war? This is a question that the West, in particular the U.S. and the U.S.-backed NATO, need to wrestle with. After all, they have put all their cards in on this conflict. Looking at the U.S. assistance that Ukraine has received, the U.S. tops the list, with the U.K. coming in second. But other countries have also contributed quite a bit militarily to this war. Are they now willing to settle for a negotiated solution? A former Pentagon and CIA official has said that one theory is that Putin, aware that his military is struggling mightily against the stiff Ukrainian resistance, might use the sham boats to claim the mission is accomplished and send his troops home. This might not sit well with the West, since this, in a sense, is a declaration of a win by Putin. Yet the economic crises gripping Europe might be overwhelming for European countries, forcing them to capitulate and say enough is enough, and to opt for a compromise solution before the citizens of the countries rise up against them or protest like they did in France.
The last savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, welcome to Arab English Radio. You're listening to The Last Savior, in which we discuss all the essential key points regarding the concept of Mahdawiyyah and the last savior of humankind, Imam Mahdi ajalallah farajah. And for today's episode, we're privileged to have the Islamic researcher, Dr. Karimi, with us. Salamu alaikum, doctor, and glad to have you here.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Of course, the pleasure is all ours. Well, dear listeners, back in the previous session, we talked about the political aspect of the governance of Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. Today, still, we're working on the justice part of his political governance. We talked that there would be mercy, there would be justice, but justice has got different dimensions. We talked about political justice, and still, there's more to justice to hear from Dr. Karimi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As I said in the previous program, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when it comes to economic issues, he will act upon justice too. And his way of governance will affect the people, and people also will act upon justice among themselves. So they will share whatever they have with each other. And that is why one of the very interesting points regarding the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is that we will not find a poor person anymore. And when it comes to rich people, we said that according to that prophetic narration, they feel that richness deep in their hearts, which means that they are not greedy anymore. Now, in one narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying that when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reappears, hakama bil adl, he will act upon justice. Then he explains regarding some of the features of his justice, and he comes to this part where he says, فَلَا يَجِدُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ مَوْضَعًا لِصَدَقَتِهِ وَلَا لِبِرِّهِ لشمول الغنى جميع المؤمنين. This notion is mentioned in other narrations as well. Because of the justice of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, people will not find any poor person for their charity anymore. So before that, let me also refer to another point that the other narrations tell us that at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, Imam will have access to so many properties. First of all, the earth would be, we have enough rain, so we have enough agriculture. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will have access to some of the hidden tributaries
so
of the
natural
both?
Blessings and also
exactly.
the treasury.
So the properties are enough for all the people to be rich. But it needs, first of all, the government to act upon justice, and second of all, for people to share whatever they have.
Yeah.
So these two factors help each other not to have any poor person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, فَلَا يَجِدُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَئِذًا مَوْضَعًا لِصَدَقَتِهِ. You may be interested in giving charity, but you are not able to find anyone.
You are
anyone.
Not going to find anyone to share that
exactly,
with him or her.
Because all the people are rich and they are
yeah.
not greedy. That's the point.
That would be utopia.
Yeah, that's what we are aspiring for.
Yeah.
So I do not mean that all the people are rich at the same level. No,
yeah.
it's not practical.
You said it. You said that the richness is going
exactly.
to be in their heart.
Yeah, because of the fact that you are rich in your heart too, I mean, you do not find any poor person asking mm-hmm. for money anymore.
And when the rich people are not greedy, they would share whatever they have.
The
so
point.
There would be no
exactly.
longer of those poor
exactly.
people.
And the Imam explained himself, لَشُمُورِ الْغَنَى جَمِيعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because at that time, that richness that we need for having a kind of welfare in our life, this is going to be including all the people. In chapter Hadith, verse 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, أَعْضُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the earth after its death. Now, the apparent understanding of the verse is that one of them is that without rain, the earth would be dead. And through rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the earth. Now,
we have both spiritual and natural death.
That's the point. Now, for the spiritual one, we have some narrations which talk about the fact that this verse is referring to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, through whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the earth. فَيُحْيِحَ اللَّهُ بِالْقَائِمِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the earth with through Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who يَعْدَلُ فِيهَا فَتَحْيَ الْأَرْضِ. He will act upon justice in the earth, and because of that, as a result of that, the earth would be revived. And Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam also has a commentary under the same verse. He says that وَلَكِنْ يَبْعَثُ اللَّهَ رِجَالًا. This verse is referring to the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send some people, referring to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his companions. فَيُحْيُونَ الْعَادِلِ فَتُحْيَ الْأَرْضُ لِإِحْيَاءِ الْعَادِلِ. They will revive justice, and because of the revival of justice, the earth would be revived too.
Yeah.
It's a kind of, as you rightly mentioned, a spiritual understanding of the verse. This is in Al-Kafi, volume 7, page 174, and the commentary on Nur al-Thaqalayn, volume 4, page 173. And the next narration is quoted from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who says, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reappears, one of the features, one of the interesting points at that time is that لا يدخلن عليهم عدله جوف بيوتهم كما يدخل الحر والقر. There is a kind of simile in this narration. Imam says that the same way that the heat and the cold enters the houses of the people, the justice of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will enter the houses of the people at that time.
It would prevail everywhere.
Exactly. And people will feel that justice as they feel cold and heat. This is in Al-Ghayba by Nu'mani, page 297.
Now, just a question before you go further. We already talked about religion. We said that when the Imam is going to publish his government, religion is going to be committed in all its aspects. And also, as far as justice is concerned, everywhere is going to be prevailed by justice, and there would be no more of injustice. The question is here, still, you have a lot more to say on justice, but here comes a question. Is it possible to have such a model in our time, before the appearance of Imam Mahdi Ajalallah Farja? Is it possible to have a model, a sort of model that is going to look like his government?
In a very short scale, It might be possible, but the ideal one, of course, is not possible because of, first of all, we have verses and narration in mm-hmm. this regard. And second of all, the experience is telling us that it's not, without a present imam who is going to rule over the world, without the presence of an infallible imam,
achieving and accomplishing that is impossible.
It's impossible. Nowadays, even in one country, it's not possible. In one city, it's not possible. When you have one poor person in one neighborhood, it means that you are not able to practice justice within 2 or 3 streets only.
Yeah.
So when we have such situation, the only thing that we can seek for is to, establish justice as far as we can in our city, in our neighborhood, in our country, if it is possible, of course. But first of all, as I mentioned, the verses of the Quran and the narrations tell us that this is only going to be happening after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And second of all, as I mentioned, the experience is telling us that it is not possible as long as at least we have such superpowers seeking for more money, for properties.
Yeah, and still greed exists among people.
So we need that infallible imam to come and first of all to defeat those mm-hmm. superpowers, to reveal the true understanding of the religion, to reveal for the people what they do not know about the religion and about science, because we believe that real technology will be revealed by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam too.
Yeah.
So when the narrations talk about the fact that like 20 something of knowledge is not known until the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam,
it has not been unfolded yet.
It seems like it's not only about religious knowledge.
Yeah.
It includes all aspects of knowledge. So we need that knowledge. We need that infallible ruler to come, and only through him.
So according to the narrations that you already are talking about them with us, we're going to have one leader who's going to act upon justice and who is going to unfold all the secrets for human beings. And then everything seems to be flourishing.
Exactly.
So that's the gist. And we have all the details in the narrations.
Exactly.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
So if I have time, I may share more narration in this regard.
Yes, for sure.
The Holy Prophet, still we are talking about some of the narrations about the justice of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. One of the points regarding him is that, as I mentioned, it's very, because some people ask, how is it possible for all the people to come and believe in the religion of Islam? At the end of the day, you have free will. So we may think of some people not to believe in Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But the point is that when we read these narrations and imagine you have a world without any poor person, without any trace of injustice, is it possible for you not to love that the leader of that world?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be impossible.
Yeah.
And all the other features of the governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, which we have in the narrations, and I will share some of them in the following sessions. So it's very unlikely for the people, unless they are stubborn. I mean, they know the truth and they do not want to.
Yeah, they stand against it firmly.
Exactly.
And consciously.
So for the people who are really seeking for the truth, it seems that all of them will come to this conclusion that they should follow Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And that is why such governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam would be loved by all the people. In one narration, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, يَمْلَوْ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا كَمَا مُلْأَتْ جَوْرًا Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will fill the earth with justice after it was filled with injustice. يَرْضَى فِي خِلَافَتِهِ أَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ وَأَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ وَالطَّيْرُ فِي الْجَوْءِ Regarding his government and governance, the following would be happy. The inhabitants of the earth, the inhabitants of the heavens, maybe referring to the angels, and even the birds in the sky.
In the sky.
It can be a metaphor, but it seems that it's something beyond a metaphor. It's referring to a kind of reality. Because we can imagine that at that time, people are not going to, have a kind of oppression regarding the environment too, regarding the animals. Birds. So at that time, even the birds and animals are
free
from the oppression coming from the people.
There'd be no more of hunting, more of killing.
That's the point. So it seemed that when the narration says that even the birds would be happy because of the governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it's referring to a kind of reality.
That means both. Time. All the living beings, including human beings and animals, are going to be
and
having
Ahlul
a Arab prosperous
may
life.
Refer to both the human beings and all the other creatures on the earth.
Yeah. So this was all that we got for today's session. Still, the story goes on. So stay tuned and stay with us for more of information regarding the governance of Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Thank you, dear listeners. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. Scientists fear what could come next once monkeypox spreads in wild animals. And here's why you should be worried too. After the first case of human-to-dog transmission was reported in August, many got anxious on how this could become more common as the outbreak continues. Please stay with us for an article in this regard published recently in Nature. Stephanie Seifert felt a surge of anxiety when she learned about the first dog known to catch monkeypox from a human. She says, "I have dogs, so I was like, well, that's awful." But Seifert, a viral ecologist at Washington State University in Pullman, who studies how viruses jump between species, also understood the potential significance of the case. In the month since the surge of global monkeypox cases, which started in May, She and her colleagues waited to hear reports of animal catching the virus from people. The first case of human-to-dog transmission was reported in August. The Italian greyhound in France had slept in the same bed with a couple who had symptoms. Viral DNA from the dog matched that from one of the owners. The same month, Brazil's health ministry announced the case of a puppy catching the virus from a person. The problem is not odd case of human-to-dog transmission, says Malaki Okeg, a virologist at the American University of Nigeria in Yola. Sick pets can be isolated at home. Scientists are more worried about a scenario in which the monkeypox virus becomes established in wild animals such as the rodents outside its usual range in West and Central Africa. Such animal reservoirs could then transmit the virus back to people. Okay, said, then we are in trouble. Controlling the spread in wild animal populations could be extremely difficult, he explains, making the virus impossible to eliminate. Monkeypox is known to infect more than 50 species of mammal, according to data compiled by researchers at the University of Liverpool, UK. But scientists don't know the virus's exact reservoir, the animal or animals that continuously carry and spread the virus without becoming ill from it. The evidence so far indicates that rodents and other mammals in Africa, including Gambian pouched rats, tree squirrels, rope squirrels, and target rats, are responsible for keeping the virus circulating in the wild there. Monkeypox outbreaks in people have been cropping up in parts of Africa for decades. Many more people have been infected in the past few months than in previous outbreaks, thereby increasing the chances of the virus interacting with animals. Data from the World Health Organization indicate that the number of weekly reported cases reached a peak of nearly 7,500 in August. More than 3,400 new cases were confirmed last week. If the virus did establish itself in a rodent population outside Africa, that could mean trouble, according to a modeling study published on September 11th. The model, which mimics how monkeypox spreads, forecast an outbreak in a hypothetical metropolitan area when the model factored in the existence of a mouse reservoir. It predicted that animal transmission would drive much earlier peaks and multiple waves. When human-to-animal and animal-to-human spread is factored into the transmission process, things become much more complicated, says disease modeler Hugh Pingzhu, director of the Canadian Center for Disease Modeling at York University in Toronto and the study's lead author. Without an understanding of how animals change transmission dynamics, scientists will struggle to control the virus's spread and prevent future outbreak, she says. Part of the reason scientists don't know the virus's reservoir is a lack of active long-term surveillance for monkeypox in the wild, says Oke, but there is also the lack of interest because this virus is endemic to the so-called resource-poor countries. People didn't take it seriously, he adds. I feel ashamed to say this, but that's the reality. With few data from the field to indicate how animals might affect the course of the current outbreak, some scientists are taking other approaches. For instance, predicting which species might be more susceptible to infection than others would help officials to know where to increase surveillance, says virologist Marcus Balgrove at the University of Liverpool. Balgrove and his colleagues gathered massive amounts of data, including the generic structure of monkeypox and of 62 other pox viruses, and characteristics of nearly 1,500 mammals, including their diet, habitat, and daily activities. They then trained machine learning algorithms to analyze the information and locate potential monkeypox hosts. their results, which were posted to the BioRevix preprint server on August 15th and have not been peer-reviewed, suggest that 2 to 4 times more animal species might be susceptible to infection with the virus than are currently known to be, mostly rodents and primates. There are a lot of potential hosts all over the world, including in Africa, but also in regions such as Europe and North America. Whether these creatures could become reservoirs and shed the virus is hard to predict. Scientists lack important data, such as information about the potential host immune response and direct evidence of the virus passing from those animals to another species, which would suggest that the host is a reservoir, Seifert says. The best way to prevent the monkeypox virus from spilling over into more animals and possibly establishing a reservoir outside Africa, Seifert adds, is to stop the spread between humans. And the best way to do that is to ramp up vaccine distribution. That's how we reduce the likelihood of these rare events from happening, is we protect people.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, faithfulness towards a friend. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone, you're listening to A to Z program, and I'm your host Hussein Hinzano. Now in today's lesson, we want to talk about the faithfulness towards a friend. A friend is he who becomes faithful to his friends, both at the time of happiness and at the time of difficulties, or even at the time of prosperity and adversity. There are some friends whose relationship deceives you, and thereby he feels happy. When he gets something from you, but you feel that he is your faithful friend and your lover. He continues this relationship with you and greets you with a smile whenever he meets you. But once he feels that you are in difficulty or that you are in need of his help and support, then he will change his behavior towards you. You know, and it's as if there is no love and friendship between you at all. These kinds of friends are not your real and faithful friends. One of the main aspects and better principles of friendship, and something that can build your friendship to be successful, is you having faithfulness towards each other. Many people have had uncountable friends when they had wealth or when they were holding a high social position maybe in life. But they, or the friends, all dispersed from them when they lost their wealth or their position. You have many friends because you have the money, you have the position, high rank in life. They're coming to you. You lose that rank, you lose the money, the friends are going away. This shows how faithfulness is important to friendship, because these particular friends who are running away from you whenever you're not in good shape, you're not in good position of life, these aren't faithful friends. So one of the aspects that we're talking here, we need to practice in life. We need to practice during our friendship relationships is being faithful to each other.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to A to Z program. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. We're talking about the faithfulness towards a friend and how important it is in friendship. Indeed, the history has narrated to us some examples of faithfulness and brotherhood. It was narrated that Masruq and Haythama were among the first generation of Muslims. They had a heavy amount of credit on their neck. Each one of them knew about the credit of his brother. Then Masruq started to pay the debt of Haythama without his knowledge. And likewise, Haythama started to pay the debt of Masruq without his knowledge. This story shows faithfulness and sincere friendship, you know, as well as the act of supporting others at the time of difficulties. This is how friendship should be. Help someone, even if they don't know. You don't need to let them know that you're helping them. Because you love them, it doesn't have to be known. So indeed, faithfulness is not only towards your friend, rather you should also show it to his friends, children, to his relations. Don't just like your friend and say that his son or his wife or his daughter, you can help them whenever you have the chance to, and it doesn't have to be known. So faithfulness is one of the main aspects that we need to look at whenever we want to build a good relationship between us. So being faithful towards your friends is one of the best acts you could do. And it definitely brings about good relationship, good success within the life of the people that we're living together. It brings a lot of success in your relationship. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Until next episode, inshallah, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
Germany is expecting its worst economic crisis in 70 years. In a report by Der Spiegel news magazine published recently, high inflation, rising energy prices, and a slowing economy are counted as Germany's recent crises have worsened after Russia began an special military operation in Ukraine in February. Latest surveys show that Germans are deeply worried about the energy crisis and rising inflation more than the crisis in Ukraine. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world press and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned, please. Financial Times Daily wrote, German inflation soared to double-digit levels for the first time in more than 70 years, underlining the precarious state of Europe's largest economy, which leading economists warned could shrink by up to 7.9% next year in a worst-case scenario. Chancellor Olaf Scholz responded to soaring energy costs on Thursday, September 29th, by announcing plans for a 200 billion euros cap on gas prices, which he described as a defensive shield to be financed by extending an off-balance sheet fund set up to provide aid during the coronavirus pandemic. According to a flash estimate published by the Federal Statistical Energy on Thursday, consumer prices in Germany rose 10.9% in the year to September, accelerating from 8.8% in August. It is the first time German inflation has reached double-digit levels since 1951, and the increase is expected to lift overall Eurozone inflation to a new record of 9.7% when those figures were released on Friday, September 30. Carsten Brzezinski, an economist at Deutsche Bank ING, said inflation is running red hot in Germany, adding that it was hard to see how the European Central Bank could not raise interest rates by 0.75 percentage points for a third consecutive time at next month's meeting. The increase in German prices, which rose 2.2% month on month, was driven by the expiry of temporary measures to shield households and businesses from the impact of high prices, such as a fuel duty cut and a subsidized 9 euros monthly train ticket. Energy prices rose 43.9% in the year to September, accelerating from 35.6% growth in August, while food prices surged 18.7% against 16.6% a month earlier. Services price growth accelerated to 3.6% from 2.2%. Russia's decision to cut gas supplies to Europe after its military operation in Ukraine has plunged Germany into its worst energy crisis since the Second World War. Soaring gas prices have forced many companies to reduce production or even shut down entirely, while private households are preparing for a huge increase in heating bills. Anadolu News Agency explains more about the story, saying more and more Germans are seeking help from food banks and charities due to record high inflation and soaring energy bills. According to the Federal Food Bank umbrella organization TAFL Deutschland, demand has increased compared to the previous year, with more than 2 million people now relying on food donations, visiting food banks and local charities. Heike Bench, a 41-year-old mother of five children, is among those receiving help from a local charity in Berlin. Bench said that although she has a job, she's struggling to pay the bills. She told Anadolu News Agency, "I work as a cleaner for 4 hours a day, but it's hard to make ends meet because everything is getting more expensive. You can see it in the food prices." The current energy crisis in Germany and skyrocketing bills have made life more difficult for lower-income households. Russian special operation in Ukraine, consequent Western sanctions against Kremlin, and growing tensions between European countries and Moscow have pushed energy prices higher. According to estimates, households will have to pay around 3,500 euros for gas this winter, nearly three times what they paid last year. Bench expressed frustration with the German coalition government for not taking serious measures to support lower-income households in the country. A recent study by polling firm CV showed that the energy crisis is currently the number one concern of Germans, polling at 68%, followed by inflation at 64% and the war at 55%. Germany's top economic institute said the country would expand by 1.4% this year, contract by 0.4% in 2023, and grow by 1.9% in 2024. But they also warned the economy could shrink by 7.9% next year in the event of an unusually cold winter and the introduction of gas rationing in industry. The institute said that based on the median of their model simulations, Germany will not run out of gas this year and next, though the supply situation would remain extremely tight. They said that this will mean a permanent loss of prosperity for Germany. According to top news magazine Der Spiegel's recent report, German families with two children and a net income of 3,000 euros per month are worried about social justice in the country, as citizens must pay 1,000 euros more a month for gas and electricity and purchase prices of 1 million euros for a two-bedroom apartment. The report revealed that during the second quarter of this year, real wages fell by 4.4%. The Spark 7 Brand Savings Bank Association estimates that 60% of households in Germany soon will no longer be able to put money aside. In recent weeks, thousands have taken to the streets in protest in the cities of Leipzig, Magdeburg and Pforzheim, and it's possible this is only the beginning. Politicians are warning of the possibility of a hot autumn, some of a winter of rage, referring to possible protest and unrest. Also, protesters marched on Saturday, October 1st, against soaring inflation and the rising cost of living in Western Germany. Gathering in the city center of Cologne, hundreds of protesters chanted, "Enough is enough, prices have to fall." Protesting against rising inflation, especially in energy prices, demonstrators called on the authorities tackle to this issue and take measure. Protesters emphasized that tens of thousands of people were driven into poverty due to rising prices, and that many could not pay their gas and electricity bills, while many opportunists, especially energy companies, are taking advantage of this situation.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is Taqwa, Thursday the 2nd of Ramadan, 1394, 19 September, 1974. One of the marks of Taqwa is to spend in the good times and the bad, and suppress their anger, كَالِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. They do not forget, they restrain their anger and displeasure. It is only when a person holds their anger in check that they can, with reason and understanding, do what is correct. And excuse people. وَلَعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They forgive others for their faults and their mistakes. They overlook people's misdeeds. Of course, this is where people perform these by accident rather than by intent. The same is true of God. He overlooks mistakes. When someone does something evil by intent, this should not be overlooked. However, we should forgive the mistakes that all people make and excuse their flaws, and excuse people, and God loves the virtuous. What are the other marks of taqwa? And those who, when they commit an indecent act or wrong themselves, immediately remember Allah and plead for forgiveness for their sins. The Quran, Surah 3, verse 135. they do not remain beneath the veil of heedlessness for long.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
There is a very strange verse in the Quran about the people of taqwa and the act of remembering God, tadhakkur. It reads, When those who are God-weary are touched by a group from shaitan, they remember Allah and behold, they perceive. The Quran, Surah 7, verse 201. Here the Arabic word shaitan is used in its broadest possible sense, meaning a group of devils or people with devil-like qualities. When one who has taqwa is afflicted by such a group and they surround him to try and lead him astray, separate him from the right path, and make him forget Allah, they remember Allah immediately. And the remembrance of Allah is an escape from the clutches of shaitan. The remembrance of Allah is a rope we hold in our hands, which can save us from the traps laid for us by our ever-watchful foes. Therefore, the remembrance of Allah is something truly precious to which we should hold fast. They remember God. Just as they do something wrong or wrong themselves, they remember God and plead for forgiveness for their sins. In other words, they hasten to find a way to efface the sin and to heal the wound it has created in their soul.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
On Wednesday, Italy's largest retailers association, Confcommercio, warned that over 120,000 small businesses risk shutting down in the first half of 2023. The association said firms are squeezed by the cost of living and skyrocketing energy prices. The president of Confcommercio, Carlo Sangalli, urged the government to do more to shield small and medium entrepreneurs, as the situation for many is now very critical.
There is the risk of a high number of business closures in the coming 9 months. Some small firms will simply find it more convenient to suspend their activity rather than losing 200 to 300 euros a day. Having said that, Italy will soon face a mild recession, which frankly is not as worrying as the media depict it.
Last month, Italy's outgoing government approved an aid package worth some 14 billion euros in an attempt to shield firms and families from surging energy costs. The measure came on top of over 50 billion euros already budgeted since January to soften the energy crisis in the country. However, the aid seems to be insufficient as an increasing number of businesses are struggling to stay afloat.
Everything costs at least 20% more. Energy prices keep soaring and it is very hard to keep going. We need help. The government must do something.
I cannot afford paying expenses for my family. I have four dependent children. They're all unemployed. Bills keep going up. How do we cope?
According to Confcommercio, more than 370,000 jobs are at risk as a result of the energy crisis. Meanwhile, energy giant Eni announced that gas supplies to Italy from Russia have resumed after 4 days. Russia's state-controlled Gazprom cut off gas supplies to Italy on Saturday, citing a problem linked to regulatory changes in Austria. Italy's national energy regulator, ARERA, warned last week that prices would climb by almost 60% by the end of the year, but experts argue that its estimate was optimistic. Bills have risen by 93% in Italy over the past 2 years, and the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, together with the damage recently sustained by Nord Stream pipelines, is likely to push costs even higher. Max Civili, Rome.
Back on October 3, 2015, this Doctors Without Borders hospital in Kunduz was reduced to rubble after being hit by a U.S. deadly airstrike. 211 shells were fired in the strike, lasting almost 1 hour. The charity hospital later announced that 42 civilians, including staffers and patients, were killed, and dozens of others were wounded.
Throughout the NATO coalition presence in Afghanistan, there were a lot of blind airstrikes and rights violations against Afghan civilians, especially by American air forces. The 2015 attack on Kunduz Charity Hospital was one of those atrocities and the biggest of its kind. As I remember, it was so deadly and devastating. Hospitals in war zones are protected under the 4th Geneva Convention, and attacks on them should be tried as a war crime.
After initially denying the building being targeted, the U.S. eventually claimed responsibility for the airstrikes, justifying that it had been a serious and tragic mistake.
Independently and impartially.
The MSF called it a breach of international humanitarian law and a war crime, demanding for an independent probe. But an independent investigation or trial has never been conducted against the U.S. forces' atrocities.
The MSF and rights bodies believe that the U.S. deadly air raid on Charity Hospital could be prosecuted as a war crime, but the international courts and bodies failed to conduct a trial because they are controlled by arrogant powers. They are funded by those countries and obey them. Besides, the U.S. has never agreed to turn any of their service members over to an outside judicial body. As a result, the case of the Kunduz attack was shot by Washington with a mere discipline of some American personnel, and no one was criminally charged.
Throughout the two-decade U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, there had been more than 13,000 airstrikes conducted by American forces in the country. The U.S. drone war on Afghanistan killed more than 4,000 people, including women and children. The U.S. airstrike on the Charity Hospital in Kunduz is one of the many instances of American forces' atrocities on Afghan soil. People here say the U.S. should be held accountable for crimes it has committed in Afghanistan. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Muslims in London were compelled to mobilize outside an Islamic center on Saturday following recent Islamophobic violence by anti-Iran protesters. On Sunday, the 25th of September, London witnessed an outpouring of anti-Muslim attacks as protesters claiming to support Mirza Amini were filmed attacking Shia Muslims commemorating Arba'in and the Iranian Islamic Center of England, following clashes with police outside Iran's embassy.
Last week, our mosque was attacked. Our procession was attacked. People were attacked that weren't even Iranian, had nothing, they didn't know anything about what was going on. And It impedes our freedom of religion in this country.
Protests over the death of Amini, a 22-year-old Iranian woman who fell to the floor at a police station on September the 16th, started shortly after her death was announced. Those protests soon turned into violent riots, with masked people attacking security officers, resorting to vandalism and desecrating religious sanctities, including hijab burnings. Dissident groups outside of Iran were quick to board the bandwagon, engaging in violent protests throughout Europe, especially in London and Paris.
We've got people not of an Iranian origin, but in fact of multinational origin who've come out here to direct their anger to these people who are loaded with anti-Islamic people, LGBT people, and all elements which are anti-Islam who have come out here to side